be on?
It's a balmy 36 degrees in Albuquerque this morning. So.
Well, yeah, but that's cold for Albuquerque.
No, not this time of year. We're our two coldest weeks of the year right now.
Well, so are we. But I really feel for all of you. I'm sorry that it's cold.
You're wasting your sympathy.
All right, so a few things. That remember that the abstracts for the joint meeting of ISBRA and RSA are all due today. I will also give you a heads up that ISBRA has some money to fund U.S. investigators to attend this meeting, so you should check out the website for RSA and ISBRA, and if you're going to go to the meeting, you might want to apply for some of those funds. And so that's, and I do hope we get a good turnout and a reasonable number of abstracts submitted for that meeting. What?
Ed, can postdoctoral fellows apply for that money? I mean, one of my postdocs is from Spain and will probably go back and do alcohol research, and I just wondered if that was possible.
If they're in Spain, they may not get money, but if they're...
Well, no, they're here now, but they will go.
Particularly if they're an underrepresented group, then it doesn't hurt to apply them, all right? The worst that we can do is to...
The worst can happen is no. I get that.
All right.
Okay.
So we're having a face-to-face meeting in April. It's April 6th through 9th. It would be great if everyone could get there early and at least some of us could meet Sunday evening. We are going to meet all day Monday and Tuesday until 3, so please don't schedule flights at 2, 3, or even 4, so you'd have to leave early. So at the advisory board's meeting Tuesday evening, the science advisory board hopefully is the progress reports and is reviewing them, and we'll have comments, etc. Then we may, the science advisory board may have a phone conference call before our meeting to hash out some things, and we'll try to arrange that so that we don't meet de novo on Tuesday evening. We are still trying to figure out if we're meeting in the NIH building or at the hotel. Bless you.
Thank you.
Jill is handling all those arrangements, so if you have any questions about that, just got to get in touch with Jill, and she's on top of all of that. Airfare seemed to be a bit higher, and the room rates are certainly higher than we paid in January in the past, but at least we're not in Washington, D.C. in January, and no one would be able to fly or get home or whatever. So it's a good thing we didn't have the meeting this week in January. All right, any news and events that you have should be sent to Jennifer. And I don't know if anyone has sent her anything recently, but I wanted to congratulate Deepak, who got the S.K. Manikant Memorial Orientation Lecture at the 5th Congress of the Federation of Indian Physiological Society, which is quite an honor. The first one of those was given by Alex Huxley in 1991, and they're not held very often. What is it, every 3 years, I believe? And the people who have done this in the past, who have given this invited lecture, are very, very well-known individuals in physiology. So congratulations to Deepak on that.
You're here.
Thank you.
You're here. And Dr. Mattson, continuing her publication streak, she's the only one that sent me any information, just had a paper accepted into Neuropsychology Reviews, Sarah? Or no?
We had a paper published in Neuropsychology last month and a paper accepted to ACER this week.
Okay, so congratulations. I'm sure
Thank
that
you.
Others of you have papers and publications, and if you let us know about it, I'm happy to announce that and put it up on the website and everything else. But so if you have those, they should be sent to Jennifer, who will put them up on the website. I have a couple of questions that anybody has any information on, I would really appreciate. If anyone knows any information about brown fat deposits in fetal alcohol syndrome, if you could send me what you know, papers on that, I would really appreciate it. I'm working on something with some guy who's a specialist in this.
Clinical or preclinical?
Either one. There is one paper that I know of.
Zimmerberg had one.
I was going to say.
That was the paper.
Yep, that's the only one I know of.
That's the only one I know of. But if anyone knows anything in FAS and brown fat, that would be very useful to me. The other thing is if anyone has any information or knowledge about issues in older individuals with FAS, I would also appreciate that. And I may ask Tom and Kathy to send out to their listserv a question about that. And so if you get that, Kathy and Tom, in the next few days, trying to get some information about it for the meeting that's held in the international meeting that's held in Canada every year. This year is one on older adults. This is not the one that the big one. This is the off-year conference. I have to go to that and talk about what happens in older adults with FASD or older individuals.
So, Ed, are you referring to anything specific or some increase in secondary medical complications with age?
Things like that. If anyone has any data on that, there's not a lot you know, in the literature, but I'm also looking for anecdotal types of stories of individuals turning around their lives and doing better than one would have predicted when they were 12 years old.
Okay.
All right. And so with that, I already mentioned that the mid-year progress reports are under review, and people have gotten their Google Doc graphs for project updates, and you can see how that's going. But I want to kind of go into today's WebEx, Kathy and Tom. So if everybody's on their WebEx thing, can turn that over to No Fast, Jill, because I have a blank screen up here now.
I haven't changed anything. I still see No Fast.
No, I don't.
And yeah, we're seeing it here.
I'll come in and help you. Hold on.
Does everybody else have No Fast up on their screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Guess we'll wait for Ed.
I'm the only one, and I had it, and it went away.
Huh. Well, let us know.
Click on the.
We can go ahead and probably.
I got it.
Okay.
I'm set to go.
Okay. Hi, Ed. Hi, everyone. All right. Kathy put together.
Wait,
yeah.
Can I interrupt you 1 minute? I also wanted to mention that yesterday on National Public Radio, Tom was on, and along with Emily Oster, who wrote the book on two drinks a day, was okay to drink if you were pregnant. And they were both on, and Tom did an outstanding job. And I emailed Tom yesterday. She certainly did not come out and say that two drinks a day was fine. Her new mantra seemed to be, well, an occasional drink may be okay. So, Tom, you did very, very well. You brought up some really great points, and you should be congratulated for that. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was important.
Well, thank you, Ed, and I think I'm happy to pinch hit for you anytime. Ed passed that lead on to me as he wasn't available, so I hopefully the NoFast and all of us, those who are interested in and speaking to the media can do more of that.
Do you want to talk more about the call with Jeffrey?
Yeah, I think, well, let's start. Kathy's put together, we have just maybe a 10 or 12 slides for you. We'll go through this fairly quickly, but I think it is important to just give you all a sense of NOFAS's role. And as you all know, a year and a half ago, Ed and CFAS conceptualized a role for NOFAS, an educational component within the administrative core. And so as you see up on your screen, our goal for anyone else, so assume you can't hear us.
Better now.
It came back.
Okay.
It came back.
Okay. Yeah, basically our goal is to as you see there at the top of the screen, to present information about the consortium and the research and findings as broadly as possible to a range of audiences. Audiences that will be outlined and described a bit more in the next few slides. I'll turn it over to Kathy. She's going to Kathy does the majority of presentations, trainings, keynote addresses, and so forth for NOFAS, but others of us do as well, and also have meetings with, I think, important folks who need to know all the work that you're doing. So Kathy, I'll...
Great. Well, good morning and good afternoon to all of you, maybe good evening to a few of you. But so, you know, this past year, we've been out and about, and, you know, when I travel, I take each of you with me and do my best to try to incorporate some of your research and certainly to let audiences know that have an interest in FASD that there are researchers out there and who CFAS is, what your mission is, and what you guys are interested in, you know, trying to get answered. So I think it's been a really, really great experience for not only for NOFAS, but for the folks that, you know, have an interest in FASD. As most of you know, that go out and provide sessions and workshops and that sort of thing to various audiences, people are just amazed when they hear the research on FASD. And so I just want to thank all of you because I think that, you know, the more I learn, you know, the better my presentations are. And I really appreciate hearing firsthand and having you guys work with us and making your work available to get out to the general audience. And I think it's equally as important that they understand that that the funding is essential for research and why we need to continue to research and answer more of the questions that come up. So I thought it might be interesting to some of you just to get a snapshot of who some of these folks are that do have an interest in FASD. So in the spring, I spoke with a large group of drug court professionals. And that was a really fun conference. And, you know, I think that the ones that I really, really enjoy are people that know absolutely nothing about FASD. When you see the light bulbs go off and they start to recognize that some of their clients probably have effects from being exposed, it's really pretty exciting because, you know, you lead something like that and you understand and appreciate that once they hear the research and really get it, they may actually have a different take on how to work with their population. Now, one of the things that's happening, I don't know if you guys have been invited to any of these, but there's been these perinatal task forces that have been forming across the United States. And one of the issues is that, these pain medication specialists are kind of setting up shop, if you will, across communities, and as a result, there's a huge increase of infants being born addicted to legal prescription drugs. And, you know, it's so fascinating to me. I was invited by this group. It was a Saturday. Now, the majority of folks that came to this was about 150 people, were actually OBGYNs, pediatricians, and nurses that work with these infants and with this population of women. And it was amazing to me that they had not considered alcohol consumption. The two nurses that drove me back to the airport were just terrific people, and they kept saying, saying over and over again, I cannot believe that we never considered that these women were probably drinking as well. So, you know, once again, it's always very surprising to hear that people don't associate women who are, you know, using drugs as possibly having infants with fetal alcohol syndrome. So we have a lot of work to do. I spent a couple days out at White Earth and have been doing some work on that reservation, mainly with the folks that work in their addiction population and mental health populations. I was up in Anchorage last year for a presentation there. Spent a day down in Richmond with their Department of Health and Human Services. Every year I usually get invited, and I'm actually going back in the spring to Hopkins or Kennedy Krieger Institute by some of their departments. And once again, even though they've actually had monies to do research there, they've had experts of, some of you may have known, Dr. Paula Lockhart. Overall, the majority of the physicians that are work in their behavioral health and their psychologists have no knowledge of FASD. It's always surprising. I actually presented to the affiliates this year using your slides and making them familiar with your website so they could work with us to really get the message out using your research. I did a presentation for a foster care group primarily in Nebraska. And again, as a result of the work that I did in Minnesota at White Earth, I was invited to this very large conference on addiction, and it was just fabulous. It was a great experience, and talked about prevention of FASD by empowering women and getting them the work, treatment that they needed. So there's a great interest in the addiction community. I every year go to Crossroads Treatment Center. It's a large facility in Virginia, and to the Karen Foundation, which again is a well-known treatment center that I think partners with Hazleton and Betty Ford, or what used to be Betty Ford. I think they're part of Hazleton or Karen now. All right, and then the fall was really busy. As most of you know, we had the 40th anniversary of FAS. I had the honor of joining Ken Jones at in San Diego for an event that they put on, and also in New Jersey, where Susan Adubato had a great conference there with on the 40th anniversary. I don't know if any of you, I think a few of you participated in the Living with FASD, this tele-summit. We provided an interview for that. We also had an opportunity to get up to Edmonton to the first prevention conference on FASD, and I know Ed was there, and certainly Ken Warren, and Tom was in Arkansas with Billy Edwards. And we had a really interesting delegation of leaders from China that came in, and Tom and I had an opportunity to present some of your research and Of course, we didn't have a clue what they were saying, but they were really fascinated with it. Went out to Dayton's Children's Hospital. I've been certainly to Georgetown. Another justice conference, juvenile justice at that time, but also to the staff of this center that works with homeless men. And I thought it was so interesting in Washington, D.C., that they contacted me, wanting me to come out, recognizing they serve, I think, 115 men at any given time there, recognizing that a large majority of their population probably suffered with some form of FASD. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. And, of course, hopefully you all know that we kicked off our webinar series. I had done the first one in November to introduce it, and, of course, we had the ever-popular Dr. Riley kick us off in December, and we had, I think, a lot. We were very pleased with the number of folks that had called in on that, and we got a lot of good feedback on that. And our next one is January 15th, and hopefully many of you will be able to call in on that. Now, for those of you that weren't included in this webinar series for this year, you will be next year, hopefully, if we're still doing it, if we're still surviving. And Ed, I will also be at the UBC Conference on Adolescents and Adults, and certainly we can put the word out if there's any specific questions you have for any of our folks on adults. Just let us know. We can get that out. I'm also serving on the panel to identify experts to speak at the 2015 conference. So certainly if any of you would like to present or have suggestions, let me know. Ed, you're probably on that committee as well. I don't know. And certainly, Sarah, with your paper, anytime you guys are published or have information that would go on your website, please copy us as well, because we can tweet about it, put it on our Facebook, get it on our website, and certainly include it in the roundup. So, and Tom, you want to take this slide?
Just a couple more slides. And another thing that NOFAS has always done is brief lawmakers, policymakers about the issues in our field. What you see here is a list of folks who we've had relationships with their offices. All of these offices requested that NOFAS come in and just introduce CFAS, tell them what it is. And we've taken these opportunities to have these meetings and to share some of the published results. I think it's also important to be able to, when you have a research university or institute that's in one of the states or districts of someone that we're meeting with, to let them know that, and let them know that this is ought to be something important to them, because breakthroughs are being discovered right in their home district. And as I said, these are folks that have already expressed an interest, and it's important to have as many allies as possible. There's no specific requests in these offices, but it's really just for informational purposes, so that they know all the good work that's being done. And then Kathy touched on some of these things. Just the last two points we want to mention. These are some of the outlets through which NOFAS can share information about CFAS and the research. Every Monday we publish an electronic newsletter, the NOFAS Weekly Roundup, which reaches 3,000 to 4,000 people. And we're always looking for content, of course, so anytime you have anyone has a published paper or any news or information, please contact us so that we can put that into our roundup and include the links. Social media, we're becoming more and more active in building a pretty impressive constituency on each of these and other platforms. Again, our priority for us is to take the research and make it sure that it's relevant to families, to policymakers, and sometimes whether they have a short attention span or not, they're not they don't appreciate comprehensively the research and what it all may mean. And so distilling it down to something that is true to the work you're doing, but also helps them understand the value is foremost in our mind as we are communicating through each of these channels. And then lastly, if you were to think, okay, so NOFAST is involved with us here, you know, how can they be helpful to what you're doing? We have a person here on staff, and we've done nearly 200 videos over the last 2 or 3 years. Some of you have done videos with us, and that's always an opportunity. So in April, in the meeting, or if any of you are here in Washington, are there other opportunities? This is something that can then be linked or go onto the CFAS website, and it's just another way for each of you to describe, you know, yourselves, your research, and your specific role here with CFAS. And if your institute or university does a media release, a press release, if you have a paper published or for other reasons, we want to know about it so that we can supplement that by also doing a release. And we can target that in your geographic area. We can target it, of course, regionally or nationally to different segments of the media. And then also work with you to, as I said before, to include some language which describes why this is important and is going to make a difference in either public health or, again, families. Media training is something that also some of you are doing that, have done it, or maybe want to do it. So that's something that you can work with NOFAS on. And Ed even asked the question here before we got going about access to FASD constituents. That's always an opportunity. Feel free and don't hesitate to call us if you want more information about the people that we're linked to, our constituents, and what type of information we have on them or how you might be able to survey or reach out to them. And then lastly, we had a conversation. Kathy and I had a conversation yesterday with Jeff Wozniak, and this is something that Jeff had been in contact with NOFAS and had been thinking about media outreach. And as we've said here, not just countering the media coverage that seems to condone light drinking, but to be a little bit more proactive and not just respond when a new piece of research is out or somebody might make a statement about drinking and pregnancy, but to in a more coordinated and strategic fashion, sort of figure out how we can who is interested and willing to speak to the media. How can we maybe do training so people are then comfortable doing that? How can we think about putting together pitches and doing outreach so that we could actually generate some segments and opportunities? Jeff, for instance, has done media. Many of you, maybe all of you have, and would like to do more. NOFAST thinks, I mean, Kathy and I think this is just imperative and you know, can be invaluable to in just in another arena and with other audiences, justifying and providing the rationale for all the important work that so many of you have dedicated your life to doing and that you're doing for CFAS. So that's something we're going to continue to talk with Jeff and then also more broadly about how we can do that. And Jeff, not to put you on the spot, but if you had some suggestions and just some things, concepts that you had thought about when we talked, so I wonder if you have more to add.
Just real briefly mention that the theme of the study group meeting this coming June is going to be on this issue of light drinking during pregnancy. So James Reynolds has already invited one of the people from University of Copenhagen who's been involved in some of those controversial studies showing basically no effects from light drinking. And then and there's going to be a panel discussion as part of the study group on this issue. Some of you may actually be on that panel. The other person that he's invited to give a keynote at the study group meeting is a guy named David Phipps, who does who's basically going to talk about conveying research information to the public. And so my thought was to try to potentially use this opportunity where we're all gathered together talking about light drinking to maybe be proactive and to try to release something to the media, a statement or, you know, a finding or something around the time of the meeting, just building on the fact that there are 200 experts gathered talking about this issue at the time. And so I've been chatting with NOFAS about this and strategizing a little bit about what we might do at the meeting itself to get a little bit of proactive media attention. Any thoughts about that?
Okay, great. Thank you, Jeff. So, yeah, so those are some of the things we've been up to, and certainly if anybody has any questions or suggestions or comments.
Hey, Kathy, this is Dale. You mentioned the webinars. Are they being archived on your website? Because I did miss the
Good question, Tom.
Yeah. Yes, NOFAS is having its website redesigned, and it'll be hopefully by the end of the first quarter of this year that'll be up. They are available on the GoToWebinar, the service that we use. So we're just in another week or so we'll have everything configured so that they'll be accessible. And so we'll talk with Jill maybe about how to appropriately email around to everyone and the group how to click on and see them.
And Tom, you mentioned social media and can you push those out to YouTube and maybe they would get a little more visibility that way?
Good point. Yes,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to. We would like to be able to capture information from the people who view them, but
right.
For sort of marketing purposes. But we don't want to do that if it it hinders the viewership. So yes, we'll ultimately they'll be on our website in some form, and perhaps YouTube will be the best format for them.
It would be great if we could link them on the CFAS website too. If you guys are okay with
that.
Yes.
You know, it might be a good one way on YouTube would just be to have little clips that then, if they were interested, they'd be directed to the NOFAS website. You know, so you don't give away the whole
thing. That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yes.
Don't give away the whole thing, but just tease them into coming to the NOFAS website.
An alternative would be to put the NOFAS information in the first few sentences that are visible in a YouTube. I think it's hard to underestimate how powerful the search function for YouTube is, and anything that keeps you from being able to find this material is going to make it much less frequently viewed.
Yeah. That's good. Good point.
You know, I'll just say that lots of what you're doing is really very important to CFAS. I participated in the Georgetown Grand Round type series, medical students. I mean, that's just an incredible, and I think other people may want to take advantage of that at some time. And I am on that committee for 2015 for the Vancouver meeting. Once again, CFAS will probably be asked to provide an update. It seems to be a very popular symposium that they have there, and it reaches a large number of people. So if people are interested in doing that in 2015, just keep considering it. Let me know if you're interested. We usually have more people who want to go than we can have in one session. But I think it's great that what you're doing, and so I hope it's mutually beneficial to our groups, but I think there's lots that we can do and continue to do with NOFAS, and I see no reason why this relationship's not going to continue. I think it's a great job.
Thank you. Thanks. It's a lot of fun. Let me just ask
I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask a quick question in terms of the 2015 conference, just food for thought, think about, would it be possible to put a panel together that could address the moderate alcohol exposure issue? Just something to think about, and that's all I have.
Okay. Now, was it Deepak talking? I'm sorry. Someone else was trying to talk.
Yes, it's John.
Hi, John.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to your question that that Jeff had raised about, you know, the plans for this current year's fetal alcohol, the study group meeting. I think it's a very good idea to try to use that the topic on the light drinking as an opportunity to get some a word out, and maybe NOFAS is a partner that can help facilitate that. You know, it's both the study group. There's multiple organizations here. It's the study group. It's NOFAS. It's CFAS. The RSA also. I think Jeff is correct that much like some of the larger meetings do, is they have news people available. This might be one case where that's the type of thing you'd like to invite in.
Yeah, and if you,
I wonder if you might also be able to record it.
I think it's we don't know what's going to be said before we, you know.
Right.
Yeah, if you all have ideas about this, feel free to shoot them my way by email. One thing that I thought about, sort of maybe overly optimistically, was, you know, could we produce some sort of a very simple consensus statement on the issue of light drinking? What does this study group of researchers and clinicians say about this issue? Could that be the output of the meeting and the in a format that would be ready to be released to media? And I'm kind of aware of all of the challenges of bringing that many people to consensus, but it's a thought anyway.
Jeff, there is a about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a group of about 12 of us. This is Dan.
Yeah.
excuse me, who drafted a consensus statement that was put on the FASD study group website at the time. It was signed off by the current officers, but there was a number of people, including myself, Raj, Miranda, Claire Coles, and others who contributed to that statement, and then I just edited it and turned it over to Feng Zhou. That has been out on the website ever since. That may be a starting point to go back and revisit the statement and then see if we need to bring it up to, you know, current date.
That's
I think
perfect.
That statement was also sent to the newspapers that had picked up on Kelly's papers as well, and so it did serve as a news item as well. And that was well done, Dan.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, it was in specific response to the first Kelly et al. Paper, but so part of it would have to be modified. But I think the latter half of that statement is fairly generic and could be a starting point for reissuing a new statement, which it seems that they need to be coming out in different forms and settings repeatedly. So.
I always like controversy, and I was wondering if you thought about inviting Emily Oster.
We did think about it, and we kind of we kind of batted it around for a while and thought that probably that might be a little bit less predictable than we would like. I have actually had some exchanges with her, both on the radio and by email. So, you know, I think maybe in the future there's some possibility for that. I think for this coming year, probably not.
All right. In the past, we always seem to shortchange the Science Advisory Board and NIAAA. But before we only have about 15 minutes left, and I'd really would like to get any comments or input from NIAAA staff or the Science Advisory Board on the progress or comments about CFAS in general. And I'm sorry I didn't give you a warning about this, but.
Well, I mean, the one thing that comes to mind, and I think we might have had this conversation at one point, is it'd be very useful for us on the advisory board to get the progress reports in anticipation of the April meeting.
Hopefully you have them.
When did they come?
Jill?
When were they sent?
I sent them before break. I can resend them right now.
Okay, that'd be helpful, Jill.
That'd be helpful. Thank you.
A lot of email has passed under the bridge since then. So, yeah, I missed it somehow. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No worries. And I used a new FileX system, so if you can't get them, email me.
Okay. Well, Ed, you brought up the issue of having perhaps a preliminary call before the April meeting, which I think would be a good idea if it was, you know, within a week or so of the meeting, so it's still all fresh when we get to the meeting. I think that would be helpful. I mean, I usually try to read the reports on the plane coming to the annual meeting, but we, you know, I think a preliminary discussion would be a good idea, particularly if there's issues that need to be brought up in the larger group meetings over the course of those days. So I think that would be a nice approach. But do you feel that you need to have feedback from us even sooner than that, based on the progress reports?
The sooner I get it, the better. So okay. I think, you know, if you can read them and then send me comments, then we can start and plan the meeting a little bit better and maybe focus it on certain aspects.
Okay.
This is Jill. I just want to make sure. So we have the mid-year progress reports. Those are ones that are available for review now. And then on April 1st, the reports are due to NIH. So you'll have those as well for the April meeting. And then we'd also discussed having slide sets available to the Science Advisory Board prior to the meeting. Is that still kind of what we're thinking?
That would be very helpful.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree.
You know, because I think we're going to have some issues about, you know, where we are in terms of our long-term goal and our immediate goals and what projects are seem to be doing great, which are ones are on target and which may be falling a bit behind. And, you know, we are coming into times when we're going to have to even start thinking long-term into a renewal. And, you know, we have to start making sure that we're all on target. Everybody knows where we are and what's expected of them. So the sooner we get the information and your comments about them, the better.
So two questions, Ed. First, just following up on that, you had encouraged us to be available Sunday night. I dimly recall that the thought was that might be a preliminary meeting of the Science Advisory Board with the NIAAA staff to at the start of the meeting. Is that still your intention at this point? Or
depending upon who can get there.
Yeah,
and we,
yeah. Well, I'm planning on trying to be there by, you know, certainly by dinner time Sunday night.
So that's, you know, it's hard for me to get there by dinner time, and that's, you know, one of the issues.
All right. Okay.
Even if I leave at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, my flight doesn't arrive until I'm home.
I understand that very well. The second question was, are we also approaching a developmental project review cycle? Will we be discussing that at this year's meeting?
We'll be discussing that at this year's meeting and hopefully have a call at RSA.
Okay.
Any other comments from the Science Advisory Board, NIAAA? Bill, Dale?
Yes, so I've looked, and I'm sure Bill has too, and perhaps others, the Google charts, and I'm glad to see that people are uploading their information. One thing that kind of jumps out is there seems to be kind of a slow uptick at the Ukraine site. And I don't recall hearing Tina on the call.
Yeah, I'm on the call, Dale.
Hi, Tina. So I'm just wondering, you know, what kind of issues are at work?
Yeah. So the you know, they of course are, you know, zooming through recruiting the new participants. What we've had happen over the last couple of months with the Christmas break intervening is they have initiated the major effort to bring in the older kids to start doing the neurodevelopmental testing. And what they ran into was in the first dozen or so kids that they tested, the testers had some difficulty in getting the kids to complete the whole battery. And so, they had some issues with the mothers not being able to complete the questionnaire on their own and so on. And so we've done weekly, up until the Christmas break, weekly Skype calls with Claire and Julie working with the testers. They're sending DVDs and scans of the scoring documents. and they've given them subject-by-subject advice on how to speed up the testing process because it's taking them too long to do it. They should be taking about an hour to do the testing battery, and they have been taking sometimes an hour and a half and still not completing it. So as of the last time I talked with Claire and Julie right before Christmas, they felt that they'd made a number of adjustments and that they were that they should be ready to proceed now and complete the testing in a timely fashion. So what we did was kind of put a little bit of the brakes on until we got them comfortable with being able to do this and getting it done. So they're on Christmas break this week. Their Christmas is January 7th, and we anticipate that they'll start testing again. The pool of subjects is ready. They've got a nice backlog of kids and mothers who are ready to come in.
Yeah.
So I think we should catch up in the spring.
Yeah, thanks for that explanation. I was also concerned about the political unrest that we hear about there. Is it?
Yeah. So we've talked with them, and you know, the lucky piece is that the two sites were at is not Kyiv, which is where the most amount of difficulty has been. Although there are protests in the two cities that they're in as well. But, you know, life goes on, and we haven't heard anything, negative about the attitude towards the project or anything of that sort. And, in fact, the visit by Ken Warren in the fall was a huge positive boost to the overall general attitude towards what we're doing there. So far, nothing that we're too terribly concerned about.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Okay. Is there? We have a little less than 10 minutes. Does anyone who has a project in CFAS have any absolutely outstanding last-minute data they'd like to let us know about? All right. Hearing no takers.
You set the bar high today, Ed.
Hearing no takers,
modest results.
Anyone have any results? Michael, any comments about something that's noteworthy and important?
No comments except go Patriots.
Go Chargers.
Niners.
Should I throw in the Broncos while we're at it?
Oh, come on. They aren't going to be out this week.
Yeah.
Seahawks.
All right, then. Well,
they're all there.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you in April, and keep up the work, and let's hope everything goes according to plan, all right?
All right.
Thanks.
Good. Thank
all right.
You.
Bye now.